sure that we go into it solid. We want to make sure that we go into it energetic for the Lord and get ready for what we have for the coming week. Amen. So as y'all already know, our little tradition here, guys, we just like to go over some announcements, and then we'll get to the preaching and teaching of today's God's Word. Amen. All right. Last Friday was our very first youth night. Woohoo! It was such a blessing, guys. Just want to show you guys here the cool pictures that we're going to display here for you. Just give me 1 second. It sure was a huge blessing to fellowship with all of our youth. So as you guys know, I've been getting inspired and I've been getting stirred by our friends from Chula Vista as they just took some of our friends to the camp, and we had a good time. They had a good time. And when I was at my old church, my wife and I was the youth pastor, and she was helping me to lead our youth. It was a blessing. So I said to myself, you know what? We need to start making opportunities for our youth, at least for the youth that are coming. I know we don't have a lot, but we want to make an impact on their life now because they're the future generation. And as much as I'm trying to work on the adults, amen, why don't we work on the young people too, amen? So I said, you know what? Let's start youth nights. So you guys know I've been announcing it at church. Some of y'all forgot. I ain't going to point any fingers, you know what I'm saying? But that we're going to cancel the Friday night discipleship, you know what I'm saying, for the youth night because we're just going to spend time with our youth. We're going to do a youth night every other month. And the next youth night event we're going to have is laser tagging, because what is the point? We want to let our young people know that you can be a Christian and you can have fun too at the same time. Being a Christian is not just, oh, I got to come to church, read my Bible, and go tell people about Jesus. No, it's I get to come to church, I get to have fun with my friends, and as we adults pour into our young people, encouraging them, doing our best to go out our way to be there for them, it's going to encourage them, amen? So we want to pray for little Matt, we want to pray for little Diego, we want to pray for little Gibby, and I already told him, hey, whenever mom doesn't take you, come here, because you're loved, you're welcome, we want to help you, and he was very encouraged. So, how many of you guys know little Matt? He's pretty, he's a cute little dude. Watch this. Are you guys ready for his little shoes? Let me show you guys his shoes. Look at those cool shoes. You guys like those bowling shoes. They're the coolest shoes there. So we had a great night. Here's little Matt bowling for the first time in his life. He never bowled before. How about that? So there's my wife helping him out. And then there he goes, letting that thing go. He almost flipped in there. No, I'm just playing. And then, by the way, the first round of bowling, Matthew won. Can you guys believe that? That's crazy. He won the first round of bowling. Then there's little Diesel. Little Diesel was his nickname, because you guys know when you put your names, and we like to do some funny names. And then we had, oh, there's little D right there getting ready to go bowling. Then we had little Gibby in the house, little G. He was holding it down the next round. And so here we have it. Little Matt's going to go there for the first time. He's getting, look, he's excited. He's about to throw that thing, dude. Boom, he threw that thing. By the second round, he was just ready to go for it. And we try to tell him, hey, just kind of guide him, help him out a little bit. And then watch this, kind of almost get all the pins. But he did have a good time. Like I said, the first time he won the game. And then the second one, little Gibby won it. So that's little Matt. Here's little D in the house. He's getting ready. He started shifting his game plan towards the next round. He started getting towards the middle. Amen. And boom, there he goes. Let's see what he's going to do on this one. Almost. All right. Yeah. Just had one left. Amen. He did a good job on that one. And then little Gibby, of course. Here we have him towards the end, getting ready to go. He was so excited, little Gibby. You know what I like about him? He has this thing. He's like, yeah, I just like to. He has that little thing there. I was like, yeah, Gibby, you did it, bro. You guys know what I'm talking about. There you go. So that was little Gibby. So, like I said, the second round, Gibby won. The first round, little Matt won. And then there was our youth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to keep our young people in prayer. We're very encouraged. And then, of course, yesterday, we had a good time here. Who came in here? Did you guys notice anything different? No stains. Stains are gone. I just want to give props to our brother. As you guys already know, Brother Felipe, he's doing his best. The Lord's using him. He was a blessing yesterday. Finally made that time to say, brother, I want to come and clean them carpets. I said, man, praise God. Let's do it. And the Lord provided for us dinner last night. Some of our servants were suffering yesterday. I ain't going to point any fingers. You know what I'm saying? I'm hungry. No, I'm just playing. And the Lord put it on Felipe's heart. He told his wife, hey, we'll get us some food. I want to eat while I'm working. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. We got some dinner. Amen. But there's your brother right there cleaning, so you guys can have a good church today. So whenever you guys see Felipe, just tell him, thank you, brother, for your faithful work. We always want to encourage our members when they're doing something for the Lord. Amen. And on that note, again, as you guys know, we want to encourage. I just want to publicly thank Sister Eileen. She's been a blessing to us. She's been going out there soul winning with us. And yesterday, she passed out every track she had. Glory to God. And she was bold. She was bold. She was going after them. She's like, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, but I'm serious. Look in my eyes. I want to give it to you. We were just joking with her. The last lady at the right there in the alleyway, she held it down. Amen. So that's a blessing. Always want to encourage our members that when they are doing something, it encourages all of us. Okay, so here's the calendar. I don't have this updated, of course. I'm just going to verbally tell you now. So the 11th through the 15th, all week next week, our friends from Chula Vista are inviting our young people to VBS, Vacation Bible School. Obviously, we're not going to be able to do all the nights, but I was just sharing with Anna, Gibby's mother, that if they're able to take our youth down there, that I'll hook her up. We'll hold down for the gas travels. So that way they can try to get as much as they can, because if my wife and I take Eileen and Diego, I don't get out of work until like 1:30, so we won't be able to get all of it. But it's from 1 to 5, and if they can go, that'll be a blessing. So we want to encourage them. If they can, they can do it. Amen. The next announcement, from the 21st, which is Thursday through the 24th, our friends from Chula Vista, Brother Josh El Cajon, they're going to have some special guest speakers. They invited us, of course, to Always Fellowship. Again, it's all about just being a friend. You already know that. Regardless of our theological unities or disunities, we're just there to show love, to be a friend to our fellow Christians. That's what's most important to me as your pastor. We're always just trying to be a friend. Say, hey, I'm just here to show support. So let's go down there to show our friendship to the brethren down there. If you can, join us. So that means that Thursday, we won't do our soul winning outreach on the 21st. Friday, we can do discipleship. And then Saturday evening, of course, we can go down there as well. And then on the 31st, we're going to have a special guest speaker, Dr. Miracle. It's going to be a blessing. He's going to be the first time here ministering to us. And so we're looking forward to our special guest preacher at the end of the month. Some of you have met him, some of you haven't. So maybe one of these days, Brother Louis, you can come back on the 31st, meet Brother Miracle. He's a good brother. He just wants to be a blessing to our church. He's been a friend to pastors. That's kind of his ministry as he's down here in the Southern California region. And I don't have the announcement posted yet, but I will. But on August, let me just quickly look at the calendar here, church. Give me a second. On the 7th of August, Brother Munoz, who just fellowshiped with us on the Wednesday prayer with the whole family, he's going to come and minister to us the Word of God. And of course, you guys, I don't know if you guys caught that blessing, but all his children were so awesome here Wednesday night for prayer. Man, they sang. It just filled the room. It was a blessing. So he's a missionary. His home church is in Puebla. And they're just out here introducing themselves to different Baptist churches, trying to gain support for their ministry. And him and I, we just had a really good fellowship right over here, kind of had a real kindred spirit, if you will. And so he's going to come back and minister to us, and he's bilingual. How about that? So Brother Carlos is going to get a break right there trying to translate. So he's going to minister to our church and then just bless us with all their youth being here. And then the next youth outreach, they're going to join us, so you're going to have a lot of competition. You better start getting your skills ready, bro, because you got a lot of dudes to take out. Sister Ernie. Yes. So keep her in prayer. Yes. We're going to reach out. Never mind. Colleen is not. No. Okay, cool. So yeah, we're just going to keep in prayer. So anyways, so let's keep them in prayer on the 7th. I'll put that up for next week. But the family Munoz is going to be here next month, to fellowship with us. And then they're going to go with us on the youth outreach. And then, lastly, but not least, this coming Thursday is our soul winning outreach on the 14th at the Sensit Market. See if you can join us. That'd be a blessing. 6 to 7. All right. Other than that, guys, ministry opportunities. We just talked about that for evangelism prayer. If you need any prayer requests, please submit a prayer request here. We'd like to be in prayer with you and for you. Live stream links, you guys already know. Podcasts, Facebook, YouTube. Please subscribe, like, and share. And last but not least, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose in your heart to financially give to support the work of ministry here. You already know what the Lord said. He'll take care of you. Sow sparingly. Reap sparingly, sow bountifully, reap bountifully. That's all you got. The rest is between you and God. There's a box back there, or you could do so online. Amen. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get to the best part of today while we came here. That's the Bible. Amen. The Word of God. We want to continue to grow from a Bible-based perspective. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles now to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For those of you who haven't been with us in a minute, Brother Louis, we've been taking a break from a verse-by-verse study through a Bible book. We've been doing a topical sermon series on basic Christian doctrines. Today, this is part 11. We started off talking about Christian dress, how a Christian who just got saved should start considering some changes within their life. As a new believer, what are some things that we can encourage, for example, a new convert? And we talked to them about dress. You know, this is what God expects of you now on how to present your body and how to present your attire. Start working on these to change, if you will. We talked about Christian attitude. We talked about Christian speech. We talked about Christian service, our membership, assembling with our local church, and those type of things there. Last week, we talked about Christian approval or acknowledgement of Christians who are doing something for the Lord, and hence they gain approval because they're actively participating in something for which they can be commended of by saying, wow, we can recognize that brother and say praise them for their work of service. And that's where we left off last Sunday. Today, we're going to finish up on Christian responsibilities concerning divine order. Divine order. That's going to be the theme of today's sermon. That means God has an order. And as we study the Bible today to talk about the divine order that God has, number one, for the creation, male and female, the marriage. Number two, the church. We're going to find out from the Bible what God expects of me as I respond to those divine orders and roles. And then at the end, ask ourselves, am I fulfilling the role that God has me for in the order of his service? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for every soul that came here to church to learn more about the book. Lord, my prayer tonight is that you would help all of us to continue to seek you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, none of us are perfect, God, and I'm always going to be Brother Moat, Lord. The church knows I raised my hand first to be the transparent one, God, to say I'm far from perfect. But today, God, we do have your perfect book. Today, God, we do have a perfect relationship with you through your son, Jesus. We have your perfect Holy Spirit who can teach us. Please teach us. Remove me out of your way, Lord, because I am an imperfect man. I'm a wretched man, God. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing, like Paul said, Lord. They came here to hear the word of God. They came here to see the word of God so that the word of God can convince them of the truth you have for their life. Father, keep building our church. Keep us united. Keep us together because of the word of God. And we'll surrender this time to you. We'll give you thanks. We pray for those who are unable to make it today, God, for whatever reasons. Please help them to respond to that truth as well. And however you deal with them accordingly, in Jesus' name, amen. Divine order. Let's start reading here together. Verse number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Three things we're going to talk about. Number one, reading. Number two, discipleship. And number three, evangelism. Those are going to be some sub-points. We'll go to the Bible, we'll plug them in, and then by the end you'll see as it all comes together concerning, am I fulfilling my role? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. The Bible says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Keep an eye out that. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. So far, so good. That the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Now, before we continue, some of y'all might be like, oh, I don't know about that, brother. I don't know about that. Well, that's the Bible. That's why we're talking about it from a Bible-based perspective. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Oh. And so, when we talk about the divine order, here's what God said. Number one, there is a Godhead. Remember Sunday school? There is God the, and these three are, where is that in the Bible? First, go ahead, you said it. John, chapter, verse, almost. Did you start guessing on numbers? Seven. 1 John 5, 7. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, these three are one. But there's an order within the Godhead. There are duties within the Godhead. There's somebody, if you will, in charge. There's somebody with the rulership. There's somebody with the authority that tells the other one, and again, let me say this reverently, what to do for a purpose that the other one has for them to do. So here's what the Bible says. Number three, verse three. The head of every man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. So God the Father, if there is an hierarchical order, if you will, is the head of God the Son. And even though we don't specifically see it spelled out in Scripture, we can safely apply that principle that the Holy Ghost is in submission to God the Son. while God the Son is in submission to God the Father. So if there's one who is in charge, if you will, it's God the Father. God the Father has the will, the plan, the purpose. The Son carries it out. God the Son has a plan and will and purpose in subjection to the Father. And then the Holy Ghost carries out that plan, if you will. What about mankind? What about the roles of men and women that he created after his image? Well, there you have it. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. So yes, there is an order even within relationships on a social level, societally speaking. Hence, when you get married, the head of the marriage is the man. But why? Because that's the order of God. The head is the man, but the man is not the, if you will, the tyrant. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells us as husbands that we are just here to lead our wives and tell them what to do at every whim that we have and every desire we have, that they are like a slave to our every will. No. There's an order to the marriage within the headship of man over the wife. Let me give you a quick summary. The men lead their wife. The men train their wife in the nurture and admonition of the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 5. The men are responsible for teaching their wives the book, the Word of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The men have a role to play within the marriage to be in the stead of Christ to the wife, guiding her, training her, dwelling with her, forbearing her. But also the wife, as in she's in subjection to the man. What is the wife's role? To be the helpmeet to the man. What does that mean? The wife is to help the man serve Christ. If you can fulfill your role in figuring it out, married couples today, you will have peace in your marriage because you will be in subjection to the order that God has for you. But as soon as any one of us steps out of line from the order of God, no wonder why disunity comes in pride, because you're first telling God, God, you're not in control, I am. We don't want to do that. We want to say, God, you're in control, we are not, help us to fulfill our role. So here we have the divine order of the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, men over the women in the relationship of the marriage, and by default, women are over the children, etc., etc. What does this have to do with the church, you might ask, Brother Carlos? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that all has to do with the roles and duties of the church. Let's go now in our Bible train, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. We're back on that Bible train. Let's go to verse number 22. Ephesians 1, verse 22. When we talk about this order of God in the church house, and we talk about the roles given us as men and women, when we submit ourselves to the authority of the Word of God, then we will adequately, safely serve in our proper role. When the husband and the man does his part, the woman, the wife does her part, the children does their part, we will have a orderly church. But it's only when men and women start stepping out of their God-ordained roles and the limitations he's placed in the church will have chaos. That's why you want to be a part of a Bible-based church that is showing you, here it is, friend, this is why, not just, well, I think or I feel and I got a vision from God last night, brother. No, we don't want that, brother. We don't want your feelings. We want the scriptures. Look at verse 22. Bible says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So who is the head over the church? Jesus Christ. Who gave him that authority over the church? There you go. Now you're learning. Colossians chapter 1. Now you're seeing who the authority comes from, and that's going to be important to understand this principle as we continue to study. Colossians chapter 1. Look here in verse number 18. And by the way, if we go through this quickly, that's fine. You can just look up online, and then you can watch the YouTube video later on, Brother Louis, and you can slow me down, brother. You can slow Brother Carlos down. Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. God the Father told God the Son, Son, you are going to be in charge of this collective body of sinners once they trust you. It doesn't matter if they're Jews, doesn't matter if they're Gentiles, doesn't matter if they're black, doesn't matter if they're green, white, anything between. They're going to be one in you, Son. You're going to have the authority over them, Son, and you're going to have the most important position. You're going to be the preeminent one over all things. So when they come together, Son, it's going to be all about you. It's going to be all centered on you, your word, your role, your purpose, not the pastor, not the church title or church tradition, but the Lord Jesus Christ. We come here because he is the head. We come here because he has the preeminence, and the only tangible thing we have, obviously, between us and heaven, because he ain't here physically, is the Word of God. And so that's what we're trying to establish, the order of God. And we're learning that from the Word of God. And then one more, go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23. Bible says here, for the husband is the head of the wife. He already told us that in 1 Corinthians 11. Even, now watch this, just like that divine order, as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. So now you know. Christ, head of the church. Husband, head of the wife. Man, head of the woman. Woman over the children, while the wife is under the husband, while the man is under the Christ, while Christ is under the Father. There is a divine order, if you will, of service. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Now we're going to start talking about our role now within the order of service pertaining to the church. Because we're all members of the body of Christ. Amen. Once we all put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we became a part of the body of Christ. And once we became a part of the body of Christ, we all have been given duties. We've all been given gifts. And those gifts do differ, but we're all called to serve in those gifts. Now let's read together here, Romans chapter 12. Let's start reading in verse number 4. The Bible says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in the Baptist church. Is that what your Bible says? Well, let's try that again. Are one body in the Pentecostal church. Is that what it says? No. In Christ, everyone members one of another. Okay. You have a physical body. You got 10 fingers, 10 toes. Some of you guys have 4. I don't know how that got cut off, brother, but that's it is what it is. Originally, the plan was 10 and 10. Okay. We're not talking about giants with the 6 fingers. You know what I'm saying? The natural purpose is you got 10, 10 ears, nose. We're not talking about all the minutes. What about this, brother? What about you? Understand? Okay. Every member of this physical body, God said, it serves a purpose. There's a purpose for this. It doesn't do the same as the other one. It doesn't do the same as the other one. It doesn't do the same as the other one. They all function for their particular office. So look at how he's saying now. He's connecting that so you can understand. Just like that, in Christ now, within the church, we are all members one of another. What does that mean? I need you. You need me. Because that's how the body functions. As soon as you become disconnected, as soon as you disconnect yourself from the body, or the body attempts to sever you off, it ain't going to function as healthily as it should be, because there is a purpose to the body. So we are members of one another because we are a part of Christ. And as we are in Christ, he is the head of the church. There's a divine order now, and a divine service to how he expects that church to function. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. By the way, as you guys start studying your Bible more and you guys start learning chapters, you're going to start picking up that some chapters, they're divided the same and they talk about the same thing. You say, can you give me an example? 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. There you have it. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 talk about what we're talking about, the body of Christ. Okay? Let's look at here, verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Isn't that funny? It's kind of like him saying the same thing in different words in the same sentence. You know, you have a lot of parts. Well, that's like the body. And you know the body, how it has a lot of parts? Well, that's the body. But that's just like us in Christ. It's one body. There is a collective whole body of all Christians right now on the earth. And we, according to the Bible, we are a part of that body represented in each assembly of believers gathering, wherever it is that they may congregate or fellowship with. But we are what? We're members one of another in a collective whole sense. But we know that we should be members specifically congregating in a local church. Obviously, you don't want to just kind of be out there hanging out on yourself, a little part out there in the wilderness. Amen. Bible says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, again, it doesn't matter. Whether we be bond or free, it doesn't matter if you're poor, it doesn't matter if you're rich. And I've been all made to drink into one spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. This is for those independent guys out there. We meet them out there every time I go soul winning. I ask him, brother, where do you go to church? Where do you fellowship with? Oh, well, I don't go to church. I you know, this and that. They give me their excuse. You know, no church is perfect. I just got me and my thing with God. You know, bro, you're forgetting the point. You're forgetting the order of service. Christ is the head of the church. That church, he just told us, it's made up of many parts, but it's one body. But it's not just one member. So you can't just say, oh, it's just me and Jesus, brother. I'm fine. You know, me and the Bible, I'm good. No, no, brother, you're wrong. You're foolish. Hey, part, you need to come back over here and get connected with the rest of us parts, because this body cannot function if you're not a part of this, and neither can you function while you're out there being independent, carnal, etc., etc. That's the head. That's the divine order of service. That's why we need to be a part of a church family. We got to be collected and connected together. Same chapter, go down to verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You see there? That's why I say the collective whole body of Christ on the earth, it's obviously made up of many, 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 many parts. So that assembly down the street, the assembly over there off Whaley, the assembly, regardless of what city, they're all a part of the body. They're all underneath the headship of Christ. But now you're going to be a part of a particular part of the body. That's why we're here at Simple Faith Baptist. This is just our little particular part of the body of Christ. And here we are, members collectively and locally together, hence our encouraging one another and our discipleship and accountability and all that good stuff here. But we need each other. That's the order of God. Now, when we talk about Christ as head over the whole body of believers on the earth, there are parts. We talked about that. The question now is, who has he ordained to oversee those parts? Who did Jesus Christ ordain to guide, to nourish, and to feed each member of the part wherever they may assemble? Well, there's an order of God. And that order started first, as I'm going to show you in a little bit, with apostles, and then prophets, and then so on and so forth. We're already here in 1 Corinthians. We might as well just stick here, and then I'll take you to the other verses. Look at here in verse number 28. And God hath set some in the church. Keep this in the back of your mind, church, because the Holy Ghost is going to keep using this word here. Some. Not all, but some. Okay. First, apostles. This is going to be very important for our study today, and I'll show you why before we close. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. So, after Christ came to the earth, he died, he rose again. The Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles in Acts chapter 1. Remember that? They got filled with the Holy Ghost. They started preaching the Word of God. People started getting saved. At the building of the church, when it first started to go down all the way back there in the Acts time frame, here's what God set forth. This is the divine order of service that he started with. He gave some of the members of his body roles, and those roles he called apostles. They were the first to start working, if you will, in the assembly and the production of this manufacturing company, if you will, kind of my analogy of the gospel and presenting it to the world. The first workers were called apostles. The second workers he had were prophets. The third workers he had were teachers. Notice all those are roles. After that, now we're going to have some of the gifts of those roles that those men were able to perform or hence administer. Look at verse 28. Miracles, the gifts of healing, helps, governments. Well, I thought that churches is just supposed to be a fun place of, yeah, it's supposed to be governed. There's a governing way of the church assembly. And again, a lot of Christians don't like that nowadays because they don't like rules and they don't like laws. But I'm just telling you, if you are underneath the order of God, then you need to be in line with God's word that there is going to be someone governing and there's going to be someone telling you how to act like a Christian in that local assembly. We'll get to that. He says diversities of tongues, etc., etc. So now we see first, here's who he gave. And these are the titles, if you will, the roles that he gave the church for a part of his divine order. Let's go now to Ephesians chapter number 4 next. Ephesians chapter 4. And I promise before we get to the end, that's when we want to ask ourselves an application. If we are fulfilling the role that we were given now as a part of the body, if I am to be found in line with the order of God. Let's go here to Ephesians chapter 4. Bible says, starting in verse number 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Aren't you glad for that? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wow. So when Brother Giovanni got saved and Brother Louis got saved and when Sister Dina got saved and Katie and Keenan, all of us, when we got saved, your God just told you there in Ephesians 4, you became a part of the body. You became a member of the body. But now you have a role within the body. Ooh, that's awesome. Now you have something to do to be a part of that, to help it, to maintain it, to grow it, to bless it. You've been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So who gifted you with something to do for him? Your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gifted you with something to do to edify who? His body. And obviously here at your local assembly, us. I've been given something to help you. You've been given something to help me. Now let's keep reading. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. Now let's stop there. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12, remember? And in the church, he set some. Like Ephesians 4, he gave some, so not all. Why is that important today, Brother Carlos, you might ask? Well, because again, just all you got to do is go online, go on your little YouTube and everything. Just type in the word apostle on your spare time. My wife can tell you, I like to make fun of these guys. Apostle, Africa. Apostle, Mexico. Apostle, such and such. No, he just gave some. And where did that line in? I'll show you before we close. Number two, prophets. He gave some. Where did he draw the line? I'll show you. But I just want you to understand that when everybody says, I am, what you need to do is measure them up by the standard of the order of God, which is the book. And sorry if it hurts their feelings. Sorry if it proves their church wrong. Sorry if it proves their denomination wrong, because that woman claims herself to be a prophetess, a pastoress. They're already out of line. I mean, that's straight up. You got to be straight up. And I'm just telling you, love, that's why you're part of a Bible preaching church. So you can know now, wow, he didn't give everybody that. He gave some, but those apostles were specific, and I'll show you before we close. Some prophets, some evangelists, some, now look at the last one, pastors and teachers. Notice that conjunction. Notice how they're connected now at the end, pastors and teachers. Why is that important? Because now towards the end, if you will, after he was finished using first the apostles, secondarily the prophets, thirdly the teachers, he has established now that these pastors and teachers to now oversee what the apostles lay down, the prophets accompany the apostles to lay down, and now that we have the blueprint to the building code, Brother Louis knows all about that, it's now the responsibility of the pastors and teachers to maintain what they first laid down in the order of service as to the church. What was their role for? And what was their purpose? Well, it says here in verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Wow, I need help to continue to grow in my faith, even after I get saved, even after I've been saved for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, I still need help to be more like Christ. And God said, I have a pastor for you. I have a teacher for you to help you to do that. If you want to keep growing, again, according to the divine order, this is what you need to do now. Next, for the work of ministry. Oh, So not only did he say earlier, let's go back now, Christian, verse number 7, I got a gift. God, the Lord Jesus Christ gifted me with something. Notice what he said. For the work of ministry, there you go. Praise God, Sister Eileen. Praise God, Brother Giovanni, Sister Kina, all y'all out there working for Jesus, because your head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, he told you that's what you're called to do. As a part of what? His body. So now that Christ is the head, he's the head over all the body of believers on the earth. You're attached to the local particular body here at Simple Faith Baptist. You know your role now. You're starting to learn now. You know what I'm supposed to do. Now you know what you're supposed to do. I've been gifted not just to keep growing in my faith, but to work for my faith, to work for the gospel. Some of you guys got my devotional about Colossians the other day. Thirdly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There we have it. So number one, reading. Remember that some point? We are reading of the divine order of service on how Christians everywhere on the planet right now, it doesn't matter where they assemble, this is the order that God gave. Number two, discipleship. As we continue to learn, as we're under somebody teaching us who knows a little bit more than we do, now I'm beginning to understand and gain the understanding. Wow, that's my role. Wow, that's what Christ wants me to do for him because he's my head, he's the master. And then thirdly, evangelism. We'll get to there. But I want you to see here, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that? Okay. First, we had what? Apostles. Secondarily, we had two prophets. Thirdly, teachers. In Ephesians, the way that the Holy Ghost lays it out here, pastors and teachers. They were given for the perfecting of the saints. That's to grow the Christian. They were given for the work of ministry. They're going to teach other Christians how to work, following Christ, etc. And then thirdly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why do we say at our church and other churches that are like-minded in our beliefs that there are no longer active apostles, active prophets like we read about in the book of Acts? Is because the role of an apostle and the role of a prophet at the time was to edify the body of Christ as a whole for a purpose to bring about the revelation of the New Testament. And once the New Testament was revealed, once it was written, once it was collected, canonized, there was no more need for an apostle to be used to supernaturally do all those great things we read about, because God had already revealed the fullness of his word. Same thing for the prophets. They were used to guide the apostles on where to go. They were used to warn the apostles of what not to do. And because there are no more living apostles, John was the last one, there would be no more need for a pastor to guide an apostle to fulfill and accomplish the will of God. But what we do have was what they were given to tell us. That's why when we say, as a Bible-believing Christians, we uphold the Bible as our authority, we go to the scriptures, we're going off this now, the pastor and teacher is just doing his best to go off what they laid down, because what they were given for the role and what they were given for the revelation is for the edifying of the whole body. But now, since you are a particular part of the body, now that you're assembling with us, if you will, a group of believers here, we have a pastor and a teacher that is just taking what we were given from them, that's the apostles and prophets, and maintaining your faith, maintaining your growth, maintaining your edification while you're here plugged into the particular part. You say, I'm a little confused, Brother Carlos. I'll keep explaining as we continue to go along. But let's keep reading. We need them. We need the scriptures that the apostles gave us. We need a pastor and teacher now to oversee us till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice, it's all about Jesus. Unto a perfect man, because we're still growing. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Independent Baptist Church. Is that what it says? Let me try that again. Unto the measure of the stature of the assemblies of God. Is that what it says? No. The fullness of Christ. Remember, church, it's all about Christ. It's been about Christ. God the Father gave the authority for Christ to be the head, the one who has the preeminence. It's not about us. But what we've been given from them, the apostles and prophets, is the word. We have it now, recorded, preserved. it just keeps telling us it's all about him. It's all about him. Sister, keep working for him. Husband, keep loving your wife for him. Single member today, single member over here, keep serving him because it's all about him. Verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Why do you have a pastor over you, brother? Why do you have a pastor over you, sister? Because I am going to help you to grow. And as a child, if you will, I am going to protect you from them guys out there that are waiting to take you out concerning what? Doctrine. Notice what it said there in verse number 14. So what do? We take what the apostles were given. We take what the prophets were recorded assisting the apostles with. And I'm just going to oversee you come in here with what they gave us, with what they said, accountability, continuity, and continuously as we gather and assemble, because right outside them doors, the devil already has his messengers waiting to take you out with false doctrine. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, don't forget about that. It's all motivated out of love. May grow up into him, again, the Lord Jesus Christ, believer, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So yes, we need you. You say, brother, I can't be like you. That's fine. Be yourself in Christ. Let Christ use you for what he gave you to do with your spirit and whatever you want to do. But we need you. Every part is needed. When one part leaves, the part here, man, it does affect us. But the Lord perhaps can replenish with another part coming down the line, and perhaps the Lord will strengthen you to be a little stronger to help over here. But church, we need each other. And look at here. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Wow. So here's what God gave you. He gave you apostles. They already laid the foundation. They went out there. God used them to supernaturally present the gospel. He gave them prophets to help out the apostles. And whatever they recorded and whatever they assist the apostles with, praise the Lord, we see their history. He left you with some evangelists to keep out there, going out there. He left you with a pastor and a teacher to help you personally. So what? You can edify yourself now with what you were already delivered, which is this word of God. So that we independently can edify ourselves together now with what we have, which is what? The word of God. God gave you everything you need for you to grow. God gave you everything you need for you to be active as a Christian. But now that you know your role, now that you know you have a purpose for what? To work for him, to grow in him, his knowledge and service. If you're not edifying, or if you're not being edified, because there's a problem between you and the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Divine order. That's what we're discussing here today, church. So now we have it. We see the body in general. And of these God-given roles, they were partaking, if you will, in the building of the Christian church. We have the many members, but it's all one body. Some were selected, not all, for those specific roles. That is, the New Testament apostles. As it pertains to those apostles, let me give you guys a quick rundown of who they were. These are not specific, because ironically, there are more apostles in the book of Acts. But how many of you guys have ever heard of the 12 disciples before? Okay. Anybody can name me out some names? Who do you think were the 12 disciples? Real quick, before you turn to the Bible. Anybody? Start naming some. John? James? Who? Paul? Anybody else? Disciples, the 12. Who were they? Peter? Okay. Basic Bible trivia. Judas? Okay. Matthew 10. Let's go there. There should always be some basic stuff that... We should know. In love, I'm just going to tell you in love, we should know who they were. It's kind of important, you know, 12. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1 through 2. This is going to be the first list. The next list is in Luke chapter 6. And then there's one more in John chapter 1 and 2 that you have to study on your own to figure out the names of two men that you may not get clarified I know the answer. And if somebody wants to buy me a burrito, I'll give it to you. Amen. If you don't, that's fine. That's fine. Y'all got your Bible. Look at Matthew 10, verse 1 and 2, or verse 2. Here's the answer. The names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus. Who is Lebbaeus? We'll talk about him. Whose surname was Thaddeus? So he has two names, just like Simon, Peter, Cephas, you know. And then lastly, Simon the Canaanite. So there was a Gentile in the Lord's original crew. How about that? And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Ooh. Remember that? Whenever we hear Judas Iscariot, you just get, ooh, Judas Iscariot. Just like Jezebel. Ooh, Judas. No, nobody out there. Okay, the second list you're going to go to is Luke chapter 6. This is the next part, where you're going to get the list of the apostles. Luke chapter 6. Some of these names will be paralleled, and others will help you to cross-reference with the other list to fill in a name. When it was day, verse 13, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So again, the Lord had a lot of disciples. But of them, of the many that followed him, he selected 12. He ordained 12. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother. James and John, and they were the sons of Zebedee. Philip and Bartholomew. Who's Bartholomew? We'll get to that. Matthew, the publican, remember Matthew 10. And Thomas, remember Doubting Thomas, John 20. James, the son of Alphaeus. Simon called Zelotes. So now, you know, Simon the Canaanite, the Gentile, he was a zealot. He was one of those hardcore guys back in the day. How about that? Anybody hardcore? Anybody? Okay, no. Judas, the brother of James. So now you know who Labius was. Oh, I hope you guys catching along. And then Judas Iscariot. So again, clarification, Simon the Canaanite. Simon, he was also called Zelotes. And then Lebbaeus or Thaddeus was James, the brother of James, the son of Alphaeus. But that leaves us with one more. Who's Bartholomew? We don't really remember these guys, you know. We just remember, oh, Peter and Paul, you know. Hey, he had 12. Isn't that cool? We know what happened to Judas. Let's go to John. That's why we study, but that's why you guys got Brother Carlos here. I'll do the work. Amen. I'll do the work. Just take a brother out to eat every once in a while. Amen. That's all I'm saying. John 1. Go down here with me, church. John 1. Verse number 43. So that's why it's good to read your Bible. I mean, obviously, but when you want to study these cool things, just go to the parallel. Matthew, Mark are what we call synoptic because they're similar. Here we have John. He's kind of the outlier gospel. He doesn't really give you a list of a lot of things like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but he will give you some things that you don't get over there, which is really cool. One of those is right here, John 1:43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. Isn't that cool? Isn't she just like verses like that? He's looking. Hey, Philip, there you are. Come over here, man. I mean, you guys don't really hear messages like that, you know, like the Lord looking for Philip out there, but that's what he did. And saith unto him, follow me. All right, I'll follow you. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. So go back to your list. Matthew 10, verse 2, or verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew. So who's Bartholomew? Nathanael. Who's Nathanael? There you go. That's free. Anybody, y'all can just take me out now. Anybody know? Okay. No. There you go. There's Nathanael. Okay. So they were the apostles. But then Sister Kina said, what about Paul? Yes. Paul was an apostle. He was added later, if you will. I don't have time to show you on the screen. There's another fellow who is called an apostle. His name is Barnabas. So that's why you got to study the Bible, because when other Christians get gung-ho, oh, the 12 apostles, the 12 of the earthly ministry of Christ, 12 men. But then once Christ ascended, the Holy Ghost came, Paul was also ordained in the ministry of apostleship. That is the ministry to become an apostle. These were men ordained as apostles in the first, if you will, advent when he was on the earth, to ordain them while he was on the earth. So Paul became an apostle later to become a part of the apostleship that was already there. And then Barnabas, he's also called an apostle. And praise God for that. What about prophets? Who are they? Well, we don't have a lot of them named, but I'll just show you the ones that are revealed for you in Scripture so that way you guys can learn from the Bible. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. There's only a few mentioned for us in the Bible of specific names, that is, prophets, you know. Let's go here to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26. And the Bible says here, when he had found him, this is Barnabas looking for Paul, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Remember, we talked about that, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. There you go. So Agabus was one of the many prophets. Remember, some. First, who do we have? Apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Now you know one of those guys, Agabus. Those prophets assisted the apostles in the direction that they would go. Let's go to chapter 13. Just a few more for prophets. So you can see the divine order and who they were. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Menean, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So who were other prophets recorded for in our church history? You have Barnabas. Not only was he called an apostle, but he's also a prophet and teacher. How about that? Then we have Simeon. Then we have Lucius. Menean, and then we have Saul. So now I'm just showing you guys from the Bible. These are specific prophets that were recorded for us that assisted the apostles, even though we know Saul was also an apostle at the same time. So what does that tell you? Not only do you have individual roles of a prophet, but you also had an apostle who was also a prophet at the same time as it pertains to the gifting of the Spirit for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then three more. Acts 15. If we go down here to verse number 31 through 32, two more that are recorded for us. These guys' names are Judas and Silas. You see here in verse 32. Being prophets also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. By the way, what was the role of the prophet? It wasn't just to proclaim a future unknown understanding for people at the present time. They were also encouraging people. You can read about the 12 Jewish converts prophesying in Acts 19:6. And then the last mention we have of prophetesses, that is women who were prophesying, Acts 21 verse 8, Philip the evangelist had four virgin daughters which did prophesy. And then we already talked about Agabus. But what did they do according to the divine order? They prophesied in accordance with the gift that God gave them for the edifying of the body of Christ. And who were a part of that body? The apostles, the teachers, the members. Before we close, let's talk about some of these. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And as you make your way to 1 Corinthians 14, I'll just read for you some more scripture on prophets specifically. In Romans chapter number 12, it says in verse number 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, we read that in Ephesians chapter 4, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So look at what these prophets did, or let's see the divine order of rules that they were supposed to abide by, okay? Because remember, there are laws. There is a governance to the body of Christ. And yes, if a church is outside of these God-given roles, within their God-given limitations, they are not in right with God. Amen. Let's read here. Verse number 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So even though we don't have modern-day prophets like we read about in the book of Acts, who literally foretold the future of a future event that would come, or aiding an apostle or warning an apostle for the direction of ministry like Agabus, we already have the apostles' doctrine. We have the prophet's doctrine recorded. So every time Brother Giovanni ministers to his wife and says, look at here, hon, here's what it says here. You know what he's doing? He is edifying. He is encouraging. He is comforting. And in the act of prophesying, biblically, that's correct. Same thing with me. If I call Brother Louis, Louis calls me. And I say, brother, remember what the Word of God says? I am in the action prophesying. I am just simply edifying you and encouraging you with the Word of God that's already been revealed. But remember what I said about rules and laws as it pertains to these men and their roles? There was an order. Remember, divine order. That's what we're talking about. Go down with me further. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at with me in verse number 20. We're almost done. He says here in verse number 20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. You know what the Lord said there? Just like a child doesn't really know much about life, God said he doesn't really want you to know much about maliciousness, sin, anger, wrath. He wants you to be childlike in your understanding, to be angry, malicious. We know that. But God said he wants you to be a man in understanding the Word of God. He wants you to grow in your understanding of the Word of God. Part of that growth and understanding is going to come when you start understanding the divine order. But now when you're practicing your role, there's going to be those other things. And we'll talk. I'm going to read them right now. You're going to hear. When we start reading them again, I'm just letting you know in love. Let's keep reading. In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So nation of Israel, I'm going to raise up the Mexicanos, the Chinese, the Europeans. I'm going to send them to go witness to you, but you're not going to listen. Verse 22, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Christian churches should not be speaking in tongues, as they supposedly interpreted to be hoopla, Pac-Man language. God said that's not for Christians. It is for non-Christians. But prophesying, oh yeah, prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Because what is prophesying? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Remember that, verse 3? Right here. If the whole church come together into one place, so we all come here to 1836, and all speak with tongues, we're all just blah, 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 blah. Okay, we got Spanish over there, we got Danish over here, we got, whatever the case might be. And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say you're mad? That's why, again, generally speaking, some of those churches out there, you know who they are? When they just start going off and I'm in there like, what is that guy saying? I don't know what the guy's saying, dude. We don't know what he's saying, but that's how they're practicing. They're doing it ignorantly. That's why a lot of non-Christians are turned away from those brethren that are biblically not doing that part in order, because they're being ignorant, and I'll tell you why. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Oh, but I thought Christians are not supposed to judge. When that unbeliever comes into the church, and he is hearing the Bible preached and taught, because the scriptures are what's doing it, not me, not my spirit, not my tongue, it's the Word of God, and as we're opening it up, that guy is going to be convicted of his sin. That girl is going to be convicted of her sin. That's the benefit of us just taking what the apostles and prophets gave us, without needing somebody today supposedly saying, I have a word from the Lord, because this right here is what's going to convince them. He said, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down in his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. A couple more minutes. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you have a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. All of a sudden, we all just say, brother, I got a word from the Lord. Hey, brother, God spoke to me in a vision last night. I wrote it down. Here's what he wants me to tell the church. I mean, you got to get out of the way, pastor, because right now this is what the Lord says. Really? Mm-mm. That ain't happening. There's a guy who was trying to come over here. This is about 2 years ago. He wrote me a letter and an email. I have a word from God. He asked me to travel into churches to proclaim to, you know, for what and such and such. I say, no, brother, I'm good. We have enough word from God right here. Amen. My problem is just obeying one thing that I already know to be true, which is being godly in my marriage. You know what I'm saying? We already have enough of revelation. That's why I'm telling you to be careful with those guys out there. But look at what he says before we close. Again, divine order. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Let's say that those churches are right, just for the sake of discussion. Let's say if my Pentecostal friends down the street or next door, let's say if they're biblically right when they start going off. Halalala karabaga. Okay. You know what God said? Three. That's it. Not the whole choir and no women. You say, whoa, can you show me? Yeah, I will. But that's it. One at a time. Not while we're singing and worshiping. No. One at a time. One at a time, and only three of you get to do it. Hey, brother number four? Nope, tomorrow, next time. Sorry, man, just three. That's what it says. That's divine order of service. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Well, there you go. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. That's right. So what do we have? I got the Bible. Brother Giovanni says, I got a word from God. Brother Louis says, I got a word from God. Brother Carlos says, okay, guys, go ahead. Edify the church with the book, with your study. But I'm going to stand back here, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to judge what you say because our God told me to do that. Same thing with you. You're sitting down listening to me. What are you doing? You're examining my teaching, my edification with what? What the book says. You see there? There's the divine order of service. I'm not taking offense. Because he's the head, not the pastor. Three. Two or three. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the spirits. We control ourselves. So when the guy says, I just can't hold myself, brother. I just had to run around the church building. No, fool. You can control that. Oh, I got to start running around here. No, I'm sorry, brother. Hey, you need to sit down, humble it up. That's not the Holy Ghost telling you to do. No. That's your spirit just trying to go all crazy. You need to control your emotions because my God told me to judge that thing, and here's what he says. You're controlling it. Verse number 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. I have to read these verses before we close because it's the divine order of service. This is going to go in with our topic. We'll finish the notes next Sunday. Why did I say what I said earlier, Christian? When I say, as soon as we examine the religions, the traditions, if there is a female pastoress, if there's a female prophetess at all, they're out of order. There is no female prophetess. There is no female pastoress. There is no female teacheress. In the assembly of men and women, look at what it says, verse number 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, remember, Brother Giovanni, this is what we were talking about earlier, let them ask their husbands at home, right? For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What are we talking about? Doctrine. Teaching. I have a word from God. I just got to let it out. Woman, sorry, I love you, sister. I'm pretty sure it's going to be an edifying thing. but you cannot preach and teach behind the pulpit in an assembly of men and women, because our head of the church, Jesus Christ, said that's not permitted. This is not a Baptist tradition, as many want to accuse us of. This is a biblical tradition. And then as we come to a close, what about folks who don't want to align themselves with the order of God? Well, here's what your God just told you to do. If any man think himself to be a prophet, notice, I'm qualifying me. It's just me now. Or spiritual. You know, I got some knowledge, brother. I really got some word from God. Well, if you really are spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the what? Commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's all you can do. So when I do run across them out in town, and I'm just closing now, and I speak with them, they want to encourage me, and they want to tell me about their church. You guys already know I'm charitable. I love on them. I listen to them. I encourage them with a little light. But once I show them from the Bible about a thing concerning church role or church authority or church position, at the end of the day, you know what God said? They're going to be ignorant, brother. Let them be ignorant. That's all you can do. I cannot try to, I can't force that Christian to change their mind if they don't want to believe that these are the commands of the Lord. So today, we close with divine order. We started off with the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These three are one. What chapter? The Father is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the Spirit. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the woman. Woman overseeing the children. Divine order in creation. Number two, divine order in the church. He gave the church as a whole at the first. Apostles, we know who they are. There's none living today. The last apostle was John. That's it. Number two, New Testament prophets. There was a role for them given. They assisted the apostles. They died out. We have their doctrines. We have the revelations written down. God gave us evangelists, pastors, and teachers, because we are now overseeing. That's the last half of the notes. I'll show you next Sunday. We're overseeing what they gave us. I'm overseeing your growth with what they gave us. I'm keeping you accountable with what they gave us to your Christian growth, your work of ministry. All I'm doing is making sure you're in alignment with what they gave us. But in the end of the day, if you want to keep growing, because you know you're commanded. Number two, you want to keep fulfilling your role of service. You know that you've been commanded to. And number three, for the work of ministry, what's going to help you and what's going to help me is continually reminding ourselves, these are the commandments of the Lord. As soon as I start trying to do it my way, God called me ignorant. And if I'm ignorant, I'll become foolish. Hence, I'm out of here before you know it. But if you want to be safe, you want to keep growing biblically. I'm not talking about a Baptist. You want to keep growing as a biblicist, a biblical Christian. You want to keep functioning your role healthy. Spiritually, align yourself with the order of God. You'll be all right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I know some of these doctrinal truths are a challenge to some of us, but I know they're a refresher and a reminder to others. But God, these are your commandments. You told us, I showed your church. They know what it says. Lord, help us to remain faithful, to be in subjection, to submit to your word, because you're the head of the church. I'm not. It's not about a Baptist tradition or a Baptist distinction, Lord. This is the scriptures. These are the commandments, Lord. But as we assemble here with our assembly of brethren and sisters, help us to continue to grow with each other by loving you enough to be important over our feelings, loving you enough so you could be the head, not ourselves, and loving one another enough to remind ourselves, encouraging each other in love with what you gave us from the apostles, from the prophets, the word of God. Father, thank you for the growth that is taking place within our members here, Lord. I am so joyful, Lord, to see some of our members, God, getting more involved and motivated to do certain things for your Lord. It sure is a blessing. Please help us to keep growing with that. We thank you for the future growth, Lord, in time, Lord. We trust you for that. But Lord, help us to grow personally, spiritually, individually right now with what we're gaining so we could keep growing together as a family. Father, thank you for allowing me to pastor these souls here, Lord. They're your people, and I pray that you would continue to provide for them the need so they can keep doing what you want them to do. And it's in Jesus' name we say, amen. Church, I love you. Fellowship afterwards, amen. God bless you. Please have a good rest of your day, amen. The Lord bless.